This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 10 minutes to 9 o'clock. You're listening to Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, and joining me are Sharad Kutin as well as Khoo Soo Chong, and we are bringing you domestic business news of the day. There's a story on the high-speed rail project, and My HSR, which is a company that's, according to the website, responsible for the development and promotion of the HSR project, is working with the EPU on growth along the track. And there are all these buzzwords that are mentioned in the newspaper report found on Business Times this morning: local communities, inclusivity, sustainability, catalytic projects, and of course, socio-economic development.
Yes.
Yeah, so you know, I think one question that always comes to mind when I look at some of these major infrastructural development projects is where they're located in the Federation, where they're located even on the peninsula, right? It's often the west coast of the peninsula. Of course, it's where all the, you know, the businesses and industry are located, but there is this major question of uneven development that needs to be addressed. The Pan-Borneo Highway rates hardly a blip in conversations we have about infrastructure.
That's a huge project, though. That's ongoing, and it's and thousands and thousands of kilometers.
And very late in the day, too. And I think, you know, if the feelings of Sarawakians and Sabahans are to be taken seriously.
I only have one question. How much of the stipulated 60 billion ringgit that's going to be spent in this project will end up in the project proper, and how much of it will be leaked out? That's the only question that is that is really germane here.
Well, I think that is a default question for a lot of Malaysians concerned about corruption, the concern of ballooning costs of projects that having been announced at a particular level suddenly are, you know, twice or three times the cost when at completion. And there seems to be very little post-mortems going on about where those leakages and why, you know, that those projects weren't managed financially better. So, yeah, it's an important question. I agree with Chuang.
I like the fact that this high-speed rail project is getting competition from all levels, including autonomous cars, self-driving cars, including going back to good old public transportation, right? Because who knows, a few years down the road, you can very cheaply take a self-driving Uber or Grab right down to Singapore in the same amount of time. And it is this kind of competition that we need to bring down the cost of this project.
Well, yeah, so I just want to say, I think we discussed this earlier, Jules. You know, there's only a few certainties in Malaysia, the other two being death and taxes, but the other two being, number one, that costs will balloon, and fourthly, that probably there will be a Chinese consortium involved in this whole project.
Well, that's a new one.
Sorry, I'm just making up these certainties.
Look, did you hear what I was talking about with Arafat Kabir in Utah just now about Bangladesh and China's involvement in Bangladesh?
Yeah.
It is massive.
That's right.
It's massive, and you know, and so Malaysia's not unique in
being not
a recipient of those Chinese largesse.
This is checkbook diplomacy. If you study global M&A tables the last 2 years, the biggest spender by far have been the Chinese and their corporations and the SOEs inherent. And they go around. They don't use debt. They don't use equity. They don't use a stock. They go around and they buy stuff in cash.
Yeah, that's right. S&P is already talking about China being on a rating downgrade watch. But I guess they don't care. The Chinese government has a lot of money. Malaysia is also being put on some kind of watch because RAM Rating is saying that Malaysia is likely to miss its fiscal deficit target of 3.1% to GDP, saying that it might likely go up to 3.3% of GDP. And this is a few days ahead of the budget.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, you know, obviously the ratings make, well, the deficit targets make the matter for Malaysians because we've got a lot of foreign money in the country in the form of Malaysian government security. So if we get downgraded, some of this money might leave our shores. And that is going to have huge connotations in terms of our currency, in terms of competitiveness, because Malaysia's growth has largely been fueled by debt.
Yeah, there's also a very big movement across the world that fiscal policy should take prominence right now after a few years and a few trillion dollars of quantitative easing policy. So if the government would, let's say, move towards a policy of, let's say, 4% to budget deficit to GDP, would that be a bad thing? I think a large section of our society would think that that is a bad thing because we don't know where this money would go, right? But if some kind of concrete policy can come out to say that, hey, we want to rejuvenate the economy and therefore we want to push up our fiscal deficit targets to GDP, what do you guys think of that? Are you comforted by such policy?
If you had a government that has proved that has demonstrably proven over the long term to have spent money wisely and to have put, so for example, if they say I'm going to put in $10 into this railway track, and every single one of those $10 ends up in the railway track, then there wouldn't be so much suspicion. But this country over the last 8 years has not shown that. They've shown that money has gone somewhere else other than in the project itself.
Well, you know, I think, to put the other side to it, many things have been built in Malaysia, right? Yes, there might be leakages. The question is, have the leakages been so large that, in fact, projects never see the light of day? We've seen kleptocracies of various levels across the world, right? The Mobutus, you know, the Marcoses, who never built it. Well, they built some things, but they built very little, and much of the money just left the shores. Malaysia actually is quite a success story in terms of infrastructural development.
No, you're right. You're right, Joel. But
you're looking at me and I'm thinking of Julian, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be a cause for a divorce, dude. Yeah,
there are also physical infrastructure. There's also soft infrastructure like education. And I think that is sorely lacking and it's really dominoing into other areas of our lives. For example, our confidence as a nation, our innovation, which has very real life business and economic impact.
Yeah, I do agree with you that Malaysians are deeply concerned about how their money is being spent and whether it's in the form of taxes, whether it goes from GST or it comes from natural resources. The question really is, how do we audit that? We have the budget coming up. Nobody talks about what the budget was last year and what was achieved there.
Well, the Auditor General does, and he puts out this report twice a year about how much has been done about it. I just want to say the three ministries that make up the biggest component parts of the budget: education, defence, and the PMO, right? So these three, I think based on last year's numbers, I think education takes about 55 billion. The PMO takes about 22. That's about 70 plus. And then you've got defence, which is another 20 plus. So that's about 90 odd.
And it might be a function. And it might be a function of the political strength of the ministers who lead those ministries rather than actual needs on the ground.
Correct. So those three ministries account for about a third of the entire. And you've got to ask yourself, where are we on education? Where are we in terms of, I don't know, the PMO's got a million different things going on inside there.
Yep.
And then you've also got
defense. It's a black box.
It's a black box, yeah.
So 80% is the figure of operational expenditure occupying the entire budget, and only 20% goes to development. There are a lot of arguments about what goes into that 80%. Some say that there are developmental elements in that 80%, but this is something that we will continue to discuss, especially leading up to the budget. Just one news quickly, CIMB and China selling, CIMB Securities selling 50% of their stake to, or rather setting up a 50-50 JV with a Chinese partner.
Well, we call broking a sunset industry, and perhaps it is the case in Malaysia, but in China, where not everybody has a broking account, and certainly not many of them have an equities trading account, this might be a big growth area. But again, you know, you've got to ask yourself why it is that China wants to get into a sunset industry, which is over the long term.
Yep, many questions to be asked. And also, for those of us who are Thai watchers, given that the king died recently, CIMB Thai subsidiary posts lower profit over there, 97% owner for the 3 months period, that was 431 million baht compared with 498 in the previous quarter. So this will we'll continue to watch this, and we'll have more business news coming up, especially what's happening on Bursa Malaysia after the 9 a.m. news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.